Well, just a reminder, there is a sermon outline inside your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. I don't know about you, but I love the Peanuts, Charlie Brown, the comic strip. I've always kind of had an affinity for them. And so there's one comic in the first panel where Charlie Brown is talking with his friend about school one day, and they're signing up for the next term of classes. And so Charlie Brown says, "I learned something in school today. I signed up for folk guitar, computer programming, and stained glass art, shoemaking, and a natural foods workshop, but I got spelling, history, arithmetic, and 2 study periods." Charlie's friend asked, so what did you learn? And Charlie Brown said, "I learned that what you sign up for and what you get are 2 different things. Expectation meets reality." It's a lesson, I think, for most of us in life that we learn from time to time, how we expect one thing and get something totally and completely different. It reminds me of, hold on with the videos, the pictures yet. We're not quite there yet, but we'll get there in a second. But it reminds me of Pinterest. I went on there once, and I almost got sucked into the whole thing. I don't know if you've ever been on there, but you can lose hours in that thing. And they're just limitless ideas, and you can look for decor, crafts, and recipes that you can find and make, a lot like these people. I'm about to share some pictures with you, and talk about expectation meets reality. Have you ever experienced any of these things? And so let's take a look at the first picture here. And the expectation is, you know, this beautiful cupcake, found this on Pinterest, and this is what you already saw a moment ago, but this is what actually happened. Let's take a look at the next expectation. This is what they were hoping to make with this next picture. Macarons. I mean, who doesn't love a good macaron, right? But this is what they came out as, the reality. Or this next picture here, a lovely and porcupine, a beautiful, beautiful cake, right? This is the expectation, but this is what it turned out as. So it's those teeth, right, that kind of get you. Watch out, the cake is going to bite you. Rather than you eating the cake, it's going to eat you. This last one I love, Cookie Monster. Who doesn't love Cookie Monster, but would you love this one, this reality? Yeah. Expectation meets reality. I'm sure we've all experienced these moments where you watch a commercial or an ad on TV for food or something like that, but what you get is nothing like what was in the picture. And certainly, we've all walked through those moments where we expect one thing and get something else. A lot has happened, as we think, just in the last year as a congregation, or the last few years as a culture and world. And here we are. Life changes with graduations and job changes, summer vacations, churches, and Easter. Expectation meets reality. That's what today's text is all about in Zechariah 9. Palm Sunday is all about expectation meets reality. And so Jesus' Palm Sunday parade into Jerusalem wasn't the only parade held that year. Roman historians say that Pontius Pilate regularly held military parades where the Roman cavalry and the horses and the chariots and the soldiers all marched into Jerusalem. And Pontius Pilate would lead the charge on a white stallion, on horseback. Each soldier with leather and armor, swords and spears made from the best steel imaginable at the time. Gold helmets shining in the sun, drummers beating a cadence to the march. Can you hear it? The message was clear that peace comes through Roman military strength and power. There's actually a name for this. It's called Pax Romana, Roman peace. And so here on Palm Sunday, Jesus' followers expected Jesus to defeat and conquer Pilate and Rome. It's why the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna," right? And the Hebrew literally means, "Save us now. Save us. Rescue us." That's the expectation. as we see Matthew 21 laying it out for us this morning. Let's read it together. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So they're crying, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the highest!" as they're looking for someone, a leader, someone to rescue them from their Roman occupation. So that's the expectation, political peace. The crowds expect Jesus to display military strength, military power, the King of David, in the flesh once again. Israel's greatest warrior was King David, and this warrior coming in was to be even greater. Hosanna to the Son of David. And yet, we all know the reality, don't we? That's Zechariah 9:9. Let's read it together. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so let's look at this verse, and we're going to unpack it a little bit more to get a better understanding of what Zechariah is saying. Looking at a few different of the phrases within this text. First of all, "Behold your king." Behold is a command to see, to look, to gaze, to take note. King implies authority. It's not his king, her king, their king, the king, but your king. Behold your king. Rejoice and shout because your king comes to you. He comes to you, not plural you, but singular you. The focus of Jesus coming to us, that what that means is his coming to us is personal. It is intimate. His eye is on you and you alone. Your king comes to you, righteous. A righteous king was pretty uncommon during Israel's history. If you remember Israel's history, all 19 of the northern kings would be considered unbelievers. In the south, 12 of the 20 kings were considered unbelievers. And so for a king to be righteous was not the most common of things. This king, not only is he righteous, but he has salvation. Zechariah describes the king as freely giving away this salvation, generously, repeatedly, everlastingly. And to top it all off, this king comes riding on a donkey. In the ancient Near East, a donkey was considered like a family pet almost, to that level. It was their ride, their mode of transportation, their beast of burden. I think back, growing up, in when I was a teenager, my ride to school was one of those 1980s white Dodge Caravan. Remember those with the kind of the wood down the side? I thought I was so cool riding that, And my parents gave it to me. It was wonderful, and it got me to where I needed to be. And hey, it was a minivan, so I could carry anything in there. But horses and chariots meant power and strength and money and wealth. Kings ride horses and stallions. And yet here's Jesus. No chariot, no horse, no army, no helmet, not even a spear. This is where reality hits. The reality is peace with God. Jesus is a different kind of king who gives a different kind of peace. He delivers peace with God so we can experience the peace of God. God's peace can calm our fears, can calm our anxious hearts, and lower our anxieties and the things that we wrestle with, that whatever we face in life, there can be peace. Well, how does God do this? Well, Zechariah tells us. In Zechariah 11, he says, the king will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. In Zechariah 12, he says he'll be pierced through with a spear and die. In Zechariah 13, he says, the king will be struck and the sheep will scatter. Expectation meets reality in a harsh, clear way. Jesus hasn't come to defeat Rome, but to take the brutality of a cross for you and me. And by Friday, Jesus was hung on a cross underneath a sign which read this in verse 37. Let's read it together. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The expectation. People are looking for a king to crush Rome. They're missing the king who will crush Satan and sin. And yet, we do have a king who comes to bring us lasting peace. But so many miss in seeing that king who comes to rescue us and to save us. And yet, Zechariah goes on to say, I'll start, I'll invite you to join me in just a moment, speaking about this king who comes. In verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations." Let's join together. "His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. He shall speak peace to the nations." We need this peace now more than ever. More peace in this world. But more than peace. You know what we need more than peace? We need Jesus. It's because these days look and feel maybe a little bit like this image here. You know, there's thousands of threads within that ball of thread, and counting. It's rolling and getting bigger as time goes on. Your job is in question. The family tension that just won't go away. The worry and fear around war and the budget and not only the nation but in our own pocketbook, in our homes. Maybe there's a pain that started in your body that just won't go away. And the knot in our stomach and in our soul just gets bigger and bigger. And the more we try to unknot this ball, the bigger the roll gets. Because there are times, and at times, we want Jesus just to cut this knot out of our life, to take it away. Certainly it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But yet, there are times that knot is left. As Zechariah 9:10 says, he speaks peace to the nations. It doesn't say that he comes to cut out the struggles, to cut out those knots and the brokenness in our lives. He doesn't just cut the knot. He provides his presence and his peace during the challenging times. Jesus delivers peace that endures. It reminds me of a story that a pastor told about one time that he took his two children to buy a new bike for the five-year-old. And the girl, she picks out a shiny blue bike, maybe like this one here with a banana seat. Maybe you had one of these growing up, something similar to this. And of course, it had training wheels on it. And the younger son, who was 3 years old, also thought it was his time to get a bike as well. He wanted a bike too. And so the dad said to his son, "Son, you're still having problems just riding your bike, and a new big kid's bike would bring you more pain than pleasure." And he goes on to say that someday it will be his turn to get one of these bikes, but not today. And the son looks up at his dad, and the son says, "You mean I won't get a new bike?" And the dad said, "That's right, not today." And the son said, "Then I want a new daddy." Be honest. There are times we want a new Savior, don't we? The knots get bigger. The struggles hit harder. The stresses just won't seem to go away. We want a King who instantly makes our hurts disappear, who answers all of our prayers now. We want a Savior who delivers us from disease, from aging, from the hurts of this world, who removes all the depression, who takes away the sadness, who removes the loneliness. We want that shiny blue banana seat bike. And we want it now. And yet, we're still crying, Hosanna, aren't we? Some 2,000 years later. And yet, Jesus does answer those cries, doesn't he? He answers those cries with his own words. He says in John 14, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Expectation meets reality. The reality is Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The reality is he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Reality is he suffers, he bleeds, he dies. Reality is sometimes our prayers aren't answered how we'd like them to be answered. Reality is the knots in our life sometimes linger longer than we'd like them to. Reality is life changes daily, and life can be hard and cruel. But yet, there is so much that we do have, don't we? We do have now. And you know what we have now? We have enough in Jesus. Here he is. Trust him. Embrace him. Believe him. Because here is the truest reality of this world that we've ever known. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, riding on a donkey and giving you his perfect peace. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for that peace that you give us in and through Jesus. We do struggle with those balls of knots that we wrestle with, the fears and the worries and the anxieties that keep us up at night. But we can know that as we face those struggles, you walk with us, and you give us that peace that surpasses all human understanding. May we know that peace today as we walk through what is called Holy Week and walk through your journey that you took for us to the cross. We pray that we experience that peace once again, fully and wholly. So, Father, thank you for being our good and gracious God and the invitation that you give to us here today to come and know you more. In your name we pray. Amen.